We begin with the text for today, which is also our prayer, Psalm 106, verse 1. O give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Amen. Does it seem like it's still a long time away? Christmas morning, that is, the dawning of that great day. Well, let's go back 6,000 years to the first glimmer of light, the light of that morning. In the far distance, Adam and Eve could see the glimmer, the promise of a Savior. With that promise, they beheld the light of God. The Old Testament has a word for love, chesed. In most of our translations, chesed is translated with mercy, something to remember as you're reading your Bibles. What it really means is steadfast love. 6,000 years ago, the Lord determined to save Adam and Eve and you and me. Only his love could cause him to do that. And that love is steadfast. It does not waver. It does not change. 400 years before the birth of Christ, God said, I am Jehovah. I do not change. Therefore, you are not consumed. Now, that was 4,000 years after that first glimmer of light, the first glimmer of the Christmas dawn. The great I Am, Jehovah, had not changed. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. But as we look at the 4,000 years, what do we see happening? 2,000 years after the first glimmer of light on salvation's horizon, God destroyed the world with a flood. Is that steadfast love? Consider the alternative. We read, Then Jehovah saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Wickedness great, every intent only evil continually. If God would have allowed this to continue on, the light of dawn would have been snuffed out. All believers before the flood would have believed in vain. And there would have been no believers after the flood. In other words, no one would be saved. However, God was steadfast in his love. So he saved Noah and his family. Through them, the promise was carried on. And the light of dawn started to increase from a glimmer to a glow. 9 generations later, Jehovah singled out one of Noah's descendants and made a covenant with him. Through Abraham, all the nations of the earth would be blessed. From then on, the steadfast love of God is revealed in his relationship with Abraham and his descendants, the children of Israel. Through them, the Savior would come, because his steadfast love endures forever. But again, we see events that, at least in the eyes of the world, and maybe in our eyes sometimes, make Jehovah appear to be bloodthirsty. Abraham's servants slaughtered the kings of the east. Pharaoh's army was drowned in the Red Sea. Joshua sweeps through Canaan, destroying, killing, pillaging. King David engages in warfare with the enemies of Israel. an angel comes along and kills 185,000 Assyrian soldiers. And then Israel itself is taken into captivity. It all seems so horrible. Yet what do all these things have in common? In each instance, somebody, some nation, was seeking to interfere with God's steadfast love. If Joshua's or David's enemies succeeded in their war against Israel, destroyed Israel, there would be no dawn of salvation. If Israel's own apostasy succeeded in turning the whole nation to idolatry, the light of dawn would once again be cast into darkness. So what appeared to be acts of bloodthirstiness were actually acts of steadfast love. If God had not taken these drastic steps, we wouldn't be sitting here today. It was out of love for you and me and all believers throughout all time that God did these things. Step by step, God did what needed to be done, remaining true and faithful to his promises. And he added promises to this. By prophecy, a new flood, not of water, but a flood of messianic prophecies spread across the spiritual landscape. And again we say, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Brighter and brighter was that light as believers learned that the Savior would destroy the works of Satan, that he would be a king, a prince of peace, that he would be a prophet, that he would be a shepherd, that he would be anointed with the Holy Spirit, that he would be our high priest, born of a virgin, born in Bethlehem, that he would live and die as the perfect substitute for us, and that he would rise again, victorious over all his enemies and ours. And then, when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. The right time, in the right place, to the right mother, under the right circumstances, the full light of dawn burst forth upon the earth. Only one thing yet to be done. The rays of that rising sun needed to shine into our hearts. And so we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Please open your hymnals to hymn number 71. We're going to sing verses 1 and 3. And I'm going to ask the ladies to sing the part of the traveler. So you will begin, and the men will sing the part of the watchman. Hymn 71, verses 1 and 3.